Before we get to our countdown of the top 20 most awkward Survivor reunion show moments, let me take a moment and tell you about ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring, do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? You want to avoid any awkwardness always when you're hiring. And with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites with just one click, 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 click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike the other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of the jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. So find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates, the hustlers, with immediate results. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/first. That's ZipRecruiter.com/first. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/first. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Sestrino back here with an off-season Survivor podcast. Don't be sad because it's off-season, because we got a lot to talk through here this summer, and we've got a fun episode here today, because in light of the latest Survivor reunion, we have had this idea that we've been kicking around for some time. The person we're going to talk to today, she came up with the idea for, wouldn't it be fun to go through some of Survivor's most awkward reunion show moments? And here she is to talk about it. You've heard her before on RHAP when she was our Sarah Lacina expert in the preseason. And I guess as the winner of the season, she gets to come back and do another podcast here. Here is the great Lindsay Wilson. Lindsay, how are you?
Doing great, Rob. How you doing?
Very good, Lindsay. And I'm really excited about this idea that you came up with, because it's so much fun to go through all of these memorable reunion show moments. And so many of them, you know, it's live TV. They did not go the way that anybody really planned.
Yeah, and you really see that in a lot of these moments where people are just saying some really regrettable things that I'm sure they wish they could walk back.
Now, Lindsay, what inspired you so much to want to talk about awkward moments?
Well, I feel like a lot of listeners can probably relate to this, not to, you know, paint them with too broad a brush, but I myself am a fairly awkward person. I'm sort of known for making a lot of situations weird. It can kind of ruin things when people tell me things. So like, someone will tell me they're going on vacation and I'm like, hey, do you know the murder rate in that city is really high? Like, I just tend to make things weird. And so recognizing that I do that a lot, I thought it would be pretty fun. I posted one time on the RHAP Patreon Facebook page asking people to share their stories of times that they made it weird. And those stories were all so funny and so terrible at the same time that I thought this would be kind of a fun podcast idea. And because we all know Survivor has lots of awkward moments, so I decided maybe the reunions would be a good place to start. And sure enough, they really delivered.
Well, Chase Rice once famously said, let's get weird. And so that is what we will explore here today as we go back through the reunion show. Now, in the rearview mirror, we have the Survivor Game Changers reunion. Was there anything that stood out to you as potentially awkward moments? I know you made up this list before we got to season 34, but was there anything that stood out to you as a potentially future awkward moment?
Yeah, there were two things that sort of really jumped out to me. One of which was the Brad Culpepper, like, really trying to dodge the alternative vote thing. And Jeff is, like, desperately trying to pull everybody back in after, you know, an entire season of letting them do whatever the hell they wanted at Tribal Council. And he's like, no, like, I don't want to do this vote. I don't want to play this game. And
yeah.
It's sort of uncomfortable, but it was more funny than awkward. And it was also like 5 minutes long. So I didn't feel that it was necessarily a great pick for this one. Mm-hmm. And then the other one that was definitely awkward for me was Aubrey and Cochran. And it was so uncomfortable. But I think the biggest thing with that one was Cochran's face. And he just looked like he wanted to die. And I think without being able to see his face, it's not as funny. So it wasn't that conducive to this medium. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew that I did think about them, But I just didn't think that they were conducive to this. So, well, they didn't make the list. They are forever in our hearts.
Honorable mentions. And while they were potentially awkward moments, I feel like that both Aubrey and Cochran have had fun with that joke. So I don't think that either of them was mortified particularly about that. I think my favorite honorable mention from the last Survivor finale that we got to see, I think, was when Jeff threw it to Ozzy. And I think that what ends up being awkward is Jeff's response to where Ozzy takes his question, which he definitely did not see coming.
Ozzy, as we go to break, you seem to really be a great spokesperson in terms of whether or not you guys like the new tribal format, the Q&A.
You know what? I think it's a Survivor is such a beautiful microcosm for the world. And we all come together, and the game-changing theme for the Tribal Council to have this open forum to bring us together to really express these ideas, these different ideas, and bring our different walks of life. It's a beautiful microcosm, and I think it's really amazing that it allowed us to actually choose the right person that won, Sarah. And it's a microcosm for the rest of the world that we all need to unite as a people to change the way the United States is going, and we need to make better decisions on how the United States is run.
All right. Well, on that note, as one season ends, there is only one question.
All right. On that note, let's get out of here.
Just like, shut it down. Shut it down.
Let's get out. Don't touch the hot stove there, Ozzy. Very... Very awkward of Jeff was not expecting us to compare this to American politics. Do Canadian politics work much more like the new tribal council format, Lindsay?
Yes, it's all, you know, one big happy conversation and it's really an open forum for everyone.
Okay. All right. So very much looking forward to getting into the list that you pulled. Before we start the countdown, let me just quickly thank a sponsor. And this is a new sponsor to the podcast. And these are our friends over at Denny's, because Denny's has, first off, never awkward at Denny's. It's a place where America can come and get their favorite breakfast, lunch, and dinner dishes, serving guests whatever they want, whenever they crave it. Now with Denny's On Demand, they've taken that same always open philosophy that's synonymous with the restaurant and applied it to online ordering, bringing access to the craveable dinner fare wherever the guests want it. Thanks to the new platform, guests have a quick and easy way to place a mobile or online order for takeout or delivery of their favorite menu items all day, every day. And if having your favorite Denny's dish available at your fingertips 24/7 isn't enough, they've also partnered with Hulu to give Denny's guests a free 60-day trial of the premium streaming service. So for a limited time, users who place an offer with Denny's On Demand will receive a complimentary Hulu trial and will be able to enjoy their meal while binging thousands of hit shows, premium online content, and films, and much more. So check out Denny's On Demand, new online ordering. Your diner favorites are at your fingertips. Visit Denny's.com and click to order online or download the Denny's app. Okay, Lindsay, so take us through what criteria did a awkward moment need to check off to make your list of 20 awkward reunion show moments?
So I had some pretty specific inclusion-exclusion criteria. So the first one was that I felt like the clips should really stand on their own as being awkward moments. So there are a few things that sort of became awkward after the fact. After we'd gotten some more context, they seem awkward. So, you know, like, anything Mike Scoopin says now seems a little weird. Mm-hmm. And like,
yeah, especially when Mike Scoopin talked about how that you could either watch the news or you could be the news.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, but in the moment, that didn't seem like it was so bad. So, you know, I tried not to let my, you know, current perceptions color things too much. And I mostly just went with things that in the moment they were awkward and you were cringing just from watching it. Okay. But then the other big thing that I think is really important, because I think some people are going to be looking for some specific moments that are not going to be on this list. And I think that the reason for that is because I want to make the distinction between good awkward and bad awkward, to borrow a turn of phrase. Yes, from Seinfeld, a show very near and dear to our hearts.
Yes, help us. What's the difference between good awkward and bad awkward?
So good awkward to me is basically everything on this list because it's all good. But, you know, it's moments that maybe make you cringe and you're uncomfortable, but ultimately they're funny. Like, you're probably going to laugh at what's happening. Whereas bad awkward, these are the things that are more like talking about real issues and things that are maybe a little bit even morally objectionable because you're actually dealing with, you know, things that might affect people's lives and actually come across as being a little reprehensible.
Okay.
So the things, these things include, you know, like your Ted and Gandia moments or, you know, Shannon
right.
just being the worst in Nicaragua. Like these are awkward and you don't want to sit through them, but for all the wrong reasons. Like, you're not laughing at those. You're just like, oh God, why is this person still talking?
Okay. We're looking back at fun awkward.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. We don't want to get into these things that are making us uncomfortable in a bad way.
In a bad way. Okay. All right. So where did you start this countdown of the 20 most awkward reunion show moments?
Well, so to start us off, I thought we should be sent off in style. And what better way to do that than with an intro that tells us we're going to have the best time. We're going to have a production number. So this one is in Survivor Marquesas, which is, you know, arguably the weirdest and most surreal reunion show Survivor ever had. And it's led by none other than Rosie O'Donnell. So I can think of no better way to start this podcast than by paying tribute to the reunion show that was potentially the weirdest of all. So let's start with that.
Okay. Here is Rosie O'Donnell from the Marquesas reunion.
Well, you know what? You guys have all been amazing. And this is going to be the greatest hour of TV because I think this is the best show on TV. What we need to kick it off in a special way is a production number. So hit it, Ricardo.
Wow.
That's right. I love that she ends with that like enthusiastic grunt at the end.
Yeah. Boy, Rosie O'Donnell's really no Wanda when it comes to belting out the hits. She's really not so much singing as she's just like yelling words.
She likes to yell. She's a yeller, Rosie.
Yeah. I don't know why we needed to do a Gilligan's Island tribute. I get it that they live on an island, but it feels like the premise was thin, even by 2002 standards.
Yeah, it's already a little dated, yeah. You know, I almost didn't even include this moment because I almost feel like it's not that awkward. Like, Rosie's in on the joke, so to me it's like a little bit less awkward that way. But how could you not include this? It's just so weird. And it's just, it really fits with the theme, I think.
It's a good opener, and especially when you tie in Rosie O'Donnell riding on Colby's motorcycle to get to the stage out in Central Park. I think that that's also a good tie-in on what is a very awkward night.
Certainly, certainly.
Yeah. They were supposed to do the Survivor Amazon reunion. Now, again, the Survivor Marquesas reunion was so poorly received that that really kicked off Jeff hosting the reunion show come Survivor Thailand. But doing the reunion show out in Central Park, we were supposed to do the Survivor the Amazon the next fall. They were going to do that in the same location. But because of bad weather, it ended up moving to the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York, and then that's where it stayed on the even-numbered seasons until we got to Survivor One World, with the exception, I believe, being the All-Stars, which was at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, and if I can just say, like, the distinction between Probst doing season 5 and Rosie doing season 4 is very stark. Just watching them back to back, I hadn't realized, I guess, just how different they were. But Jeff is just like, now nobody F with me. I want nothing but straight answers. There will be no singing. This is all business tonight.
That's right. Now, could you tell us how you ultimately, what was your process, Lindsay, in looking for these moments?
Basically, I just looked at any moment that made me go like, oh, God, not great. And if I sort of...
But you watched every reunion?
I watched every reunion consecutively and basically just made a master list of any moment that made me cringe. And then I just pared it down from there. And like my partner, Kyle, he cannot tolerate any awkward moments. So if there were any that I was kind of unsure about, I ran them by him. And if he had to get up and leave the room, I felt like that was a good one. And he couldn't get through 30 seconds of this song. So
okay.
Seemed like a good start.
That's a good tell. And how many did you have on your list overall before you started cutting things down?
I feel like we were pushing 40. Like there were a lot of moments that were, you know, kind of cringy, but didn't quite make the list. And I included all of the bad, awkward moments too. And I decided, you know, once I got rid of those and left it with the fun ones, this is what we were left with.
Okay. So Lindsay, outside of Rosie O'Donnell singing to get us started, what is number 19 on your list?
So this one comes from season 10, which is Survivor Palau. And it's probably maybe less universally awkward for everybody than one that I just found made me really uncomfortable. It comes from the extremely memorable fan favorite Jeff Wilson, who I think is also Jeff Probst's favorite person. And I'm sure everybody remembers him. And just to set this up, basically, this guy stepped on a coconut in the middle of the night, twisted his ankle, and then he asked everybody to vote him out, which they then did. And then at the reunion show, Jeff calls him out for basically engineering his own quit. And so then Jeff Wilson is like, well, I mean, don't be mean to me. I have already suffered a very cruel fate. And that is what we are about to hear.
Okay, here is Jeff Wilson.
There's another way to get out of this game, and that is to say, vote me out. And it may not always play as a quit, but in my world, it's kind of a quit. And I want to hear you defend why you should have left the game with a hurt ankle when you clearly could have chopped coconuts, made fire, tended camp in a lot of different ways.
Well, I mean, first of all, I am officially Coconut Boy. I mean, anywhere I go, anybody that talks to me, I'm Coconut Boy. That's how it goes. I mean, it can't get any worse than that. But for me...
Wait, what was that? That's hot at the end.
So I think he said that's hard.
That's hard. Like,
that's really difficult for you.
I thought that was his girlfriend, Kim, from Survivor Palau.
Maybe. I thought it was her being like, no, that's really hard that you have to go through that. Like, oh, I'm so sorry. But like, the objection I have to this, there are actually two things that I find bad about this. One is that, like, it's always awkward when someone tells a story that they think is going to be hilarious and then it doesn't get a laugh.
Yes.
And that is what we have here. But then, in addition, like, who are these people that are coming up to Jeff Wilson and being like, oh, yeah, Coconut Boy. Like, no one knows who he is. Who is he kidding? This is ridiculous. And furthermore, like, the idea that they're all coming up with this super clever nickname, like, no one is doing this. I refuse to accept this story. And just every time I watch it, it drives me crazy. I can't stand it. So whether this has universal awkward appeal, I don't know. But for me, this one is bad. And it's my list, so you have to deal with it.
You can also tell that we're in season 10, that we're that far back, that Jeff is really giving the third degree to somebody who was like the fourth person out in a season of, hey, why did you quit? Whereas in modern Survivor, they would just pretend that Jeff did not exist.
I mean, they didn't talk to Tony last night. What are they doing talking to Jeff Wilson?
Talking to like, Coconut Boy.
Exactly, exactly. It was just absurd to me. And just like, no one is calling you that. Just stop it.
All right. Well, I will refer to Jeff Wilson as Coconut Boy only from here on out.
Well, I mean, at least one person will be.
Yes. And really, I think that other than the evolutionist strategy, I think this is the first time I'm mentioning Jeff Wilson on Rob as a Podcast in 7 years. I mean, Coconut Boy.
Exactly. There is no call to be talking about Jeff Wilson.
Okay. All right. What is number 18 on your list, Lindsay?
This is the other one that I think maybe is just more for me. And after this, I swear we'll get into ones that are a bit more universally appealing. But this one comes to us from Survivor Gabon. And Jeff has just been talking to Ken about his love life. And Ken basically says that more girls are indeed talking to him, but that he wants to be with a girl who likes him for him and not because he was on Survivor. And everyone goes like, aw. So then Jeff suggests that he has just the girl for Ken. He suggests the also very memorable Michelle, the first boot from this season. And then he gives the floor to Michelle and immediately regrets it.
Okay, here is Michelle Chase. Is that the right name?
Yes, Michelle Chase. That's
okay,
right.
Okay, Michelle Chase.
What about beautiful Michelle, with whom you guys had a little something there, Michelle?
You think I'm beautiful? Thank you, Jeff.
Michelle, any chance with you and Kenny? Because you guys, in the first and your only episode, had a nice little moment where you ate a termite for him.
I ate a termite for him. And now I have nightmares that this big termite is trying to eat me. And he's wearing a thong. What do you call those things? Buff. He's wearing a thong buff, and he has a torch in his hand, and he's trying to eat me because I ate his daughter.
Kenny, maybe stay single.
So, yeah, there are two reasons that I hate this one. Because, again, it's one that she's like, ugh, I'm so funny. Listen to my hilarious story. And no one laughs. But also, like, I personally just really hate it when people talk about their dreams. Like, they're only interesting to the person who had the dream. And I honestly don't think she even had this dream. She just thought it would be a really funny story. And it all just fell apart. Like, keep that stuff to yourself. I was, oh, God.
You think she was doing material?
I mean, I think so. And I think she needed to workshop it a little more.
Workshop it a little bit more. That the termite in the thong bathing suit buff, really, I don't know, how do you wear a thong buff?
I think she was saying thong, like the name of their tribe.
Oh, a thong buff. Got it. I thought just yes. A thong, like that type of bathing suit. I thought that's what she was saying.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
And she just, like, the fact that she loses the word buff is also not great.
Yeah, not great. Not ideal. So Michelle, not really cut out to be a survivor or a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
Jeff is really funny in that moment, though. Like, Kenny, maybe stay single.
And then Kenny's response is like, yeah, I think you're right, Jeff.
Yes. So, all right. Good job with that one. I like that.
That's good. I was worried it would be just me because I just really hate dreams. So I thought I was being biased, no. But I'm glad
we're going to have a Fiji clip next.
Yes, exactly. That okay. Was pretty awkward too, really.
Yeah. He's got some awkward moments as well. All right. So Lindsay, number 17 on your list, where are we going in the great history of Survivor reunions?
So we are already heading back to Survivor Palau because who knew that it was so awkward, but this one has to do with James Miller. So a TEOS favorite. Earlier in the season, they had done the sumo at sea challenge where they have to like knock each other into the water. And Kobe, he absolutely destroys James at this challenge. And then James in a confessional, he really owns that. And in his own way, I mean, he doesn't do it in the best way, but he sort of praises Kobe for being stronger than him. So then Jeff Probst imagines at the reunion that because Kobe is gay, James probably has a delightful anecdote about how that was received at the mill where James works. And then we will come to find out from James that, in fact, this is not at all what happened.
I know one of the favorite moments for me was a great showdown. Kobe, the gay hairdresser, versus James, the self-proclaimed redneck from Alabama.
Come on.
And you know what was great about that was that you beat James, and James was so, you were so complimentary about it. I mean, you really were. And I have to imagine the next day after that episode aired, when you went into work, your buddies had a couple of things to say. This is America. Am I wrong or not?
This is America, and be honest with you, I've been unemployed because I can't get work because I'm a redneck.
James?
I tell you what.
My stuff.
Exactly. So yeah, again, a couple reasons for this one being awkward. Like, the first thing is Jeff going like, this is America, surely they said something inappropriate. Like, I don't know what that's about. But then the other thing is that James goes, yeah, actually I'm unemployed, and everyone is so primed for it to be a joke that everybody laughs, and then they go, oh God, like, this isn't something we should be laughing at. This is, in fact, very sad. So, like, oh, it's just so not what Jeff was expecting, I think, when he went to James for this one.
Here, let's hear that second half of that again.
And I have to imagine the next day after that episode aired, when you went into work, your buddies had a couple of things to say. This is America. Am I wrong or not?
This is America, and be honest with you, I've been unemployed because I can't get work because I'm a redneck.
James?
Yeah.
It gets a pretty big laugh.
I don't know. Maybe it was just like one of those like nervous laughter from the audience that they didn't know what to do.
Oh, I think they were just so primed because they're like, ah, it's going to be really funny,
it's
right?
James,
like, what did they say?
Funny. He's got all the one-liners.
My stuff!
He's going to say, come on, and it's going to be really funny. Yeah. And then he like tries to laugh it off by being like, I'm a redneck. That's what happens. But like, it's too late to recover at that point.
Right, right. You feel like that Jeff probably should have run these questions past the survivors at this point.
We're
into Survivor 10. This is the sixth reunion show Jeff is hosting. So maybe just like ask James if he can ask him about what the people at his job said the next day before we find out that he's unemployed on TV.
Exactly, exactly. It seems like just anything would have been better, but yeah, he really got left hanging on that one.
Poor James. Poor James. Hopefully that he's found something since 2004.
Let's hope so, and that he's still not taking his wife for granted.
Yes. Okay. All right. So where are you going with number 16, Lindsay?
So number 16 is very thematically similar to number 17 in that this one is also about someone who lost her job.
Oh.
Yes, and this clip is actually coming to us from Survivor China. And it's a clip that, unlike all the rest of them, I said at the beginning, I wanted clips that could stand on their own. This one actually only becomes awkward on the rewatch, but it became awkward so soon after the original viewing that I feel like it's okay. So this one is Lunch Lady Denise, who for the entire season is talking about how her life as a lunch lady is difficult and she makes $7 an hour. So then Jeff asks her to talk about how her life has changed since Survivor, and it turns out it's actually a very sad story.
Denise, you had a very different welcome home. There, we just saw in the show where you say, in trying to plead your case, you know, this is it for me. I'm going back home. I'm going back to being the lunch lady making $7 an hour. Only when you got home, that isn't even what happened.
No, I went back and I talked to the food service director, and they didn't give me my job back. So I ended up having to go, I'm a janitor now, I clean the toilets, I wash the floors in the bathrooms, I vacuum the kids' rugs. Yeah, I miss dinner with my family, I haven't been to a field hockey game yet. You know, I'm missing out a lot more than I really had planned on doing, so.
And the reason that I think you said to me was that it's actually because you're too recognizable, you're a distraction?
Yeah, the original reason was they said that it would be too distracting. The kids all come in and everybody in the school comes up to me and everybody's like, hey, how you doing? And all the third graders, they walk by me in the afternoon. They're like, hey, Denise, hi, Denise, hi, Denise. Hi. And 125 of them walk by and every one of them says hi to me. So, I mean, it's emotional. I mean, I miss my job. You know, if anybody out there is looking for a lunch lady on the day shift, you know, give me a call.
My stuff.
Exactly. So this only becomes more awkward because then, you know, they go to commercial and they do the fan favorite thing. And then Mark Burnett has been watching and Jeff says like, oh, you know what, Denise, to get your life back on track, here is $50,000 from Mark Burnett.
Yes.
And then the next day we come to find out that, in fact, Denise had already transferred and become a custodian before she left.
Mm-hmm.
And that when she got back, it was just she was like, oh, actually, I've decided I want my job back. But she's been gone for 7 weeks at this point. So they filled the position. Anyway, and so they issue a statement from the school, like, I can't believe that she said this. We didn't fire her from her job. This is, you know, she's really slandering us on national television. And it was very awkward because then Denise then had to, you know, go on an apology tour. And I think she donated all the money to charity. And, you know, and if we think about how Josh reacted to this when he
yes,
heard this story,
he was very
this
upset.
Is quite a scandal.
It was a scandal. It really was a big scandal at the time. People were really mortified by this. It was a simpler time back in, what was this, 2006, 2007. Yeah, sometime around then when the real Denise, Lunch Lady Denise scandal was rocking the headlines.
Lunch Lady Gate. That's right.
Lunch Lady Gate. I always feel like that the lunch lady, she looks at that is it's such a more prestigious position than custodian.
I know. She's very down on it and very dismissive about it. Like, oh, I just want to be a lunch lady again. That's the dream.
Yes. That is the pinnacle of, you know, the pyramid of working at the school where being the custodian is all the way at the bottom.
That's right. Well, and then in her apology, she's like, I never meant to mislead anyone. But I feel like, you know, she's being pretty clear about what she's saying
yeah.
in that clip. She's not, there's not nothing really unclear about what she's saying.
Not a great look from custodian Denise.
Not great.
Yeah. Too distracting in the lunchroom. Too many
That's
of her
right.
fans
Everybody
want to talk
loves
to her. Yeah, line is getting too long for the pizza.
What did she say? It was fish sticks that she talked about in China, right?
Yes. So She just try to say she was a lunch lady because that's what casting was looking for? Were they like, is there like a lunch lady archetype that they were trying to fill?
Maybe. Well, I remember Josh saying he wondered if it was like a long con and she was trying to make everybody feel bad for her so that they'd take her to the end.
Oh, maybe, maybe. But I don't know why she's talking about it here at the reunion show.
Although the other thing was, like, maybe she thought they were still voting on the fan favorite up till the last second. So, like, maybe this was a very nefarious plot.
Wait, what a hustler. Bring her back for Hustlers and Heroes and Healers.
That's right. The H team.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Hustler Denise. That's what we'll call her from now on.
Hustler Denise and Coconut Boy. And we got all the all-stars.
Bring them all back. Coconut Boy could have used a healer. They could have fixed his leg right up.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Lindsay, are you excited for the irony of when a healer gets medevac next season?
I mean, I feel like that would be incredible,
yes.
Right?
Yes. It's like, ah, the irony. I'm a healer, but I cannot heal thyself.
The only thing I cannot heal is my own bones.
Very sad. Okay. Hopefully not. Indeed. Knock on wood. All right. Number 15 on your countdown, Lindsay. What is the number 15 yes. most awkward Survivor reunion show moment?
So this one was actually kind of a last minute addition for me, but it's Ooh. One that I really like on re-listening. And it's sort of a moment that I had forgotten about. So this comes from Survivor Africa, which was our last Bryant Gumbel reunion. Mm-hmm. And in true Bryant fashion, it gets pretty uncomfortable. And so I think that this one, again, you probably don't think of it right away. So it's in the first couple minutes of the show. Ethan has had his moment to talk about how great he is and what a great win it was. But then Bryant decides, just in case we've forgotten who everybody else is, he needs to reintroduce the cast. And just to make sure we really do remember them, he has some interesting descriptors for each of them.
Okay, here is Bryant Gumbel at the Survivor Africa reunion.
With us tonight, in the order they left Africa, are postal worker Diane Ogden, Deputy Sheriff Jesse Camacho, dentist Carl Bilacchioni, and the Harvard-based hugger, Linda Spencer. Bartender Silas Gaither was the first one booted out after the surprising tribal switch. Then came Lindsay Richter. You haven't seen all of her until you've seen her audition tape, which you will see a bit later.
Oh, no.
Don't look at me. You made it. Lindsay was followed by the bean lover, Clarence Black. Then the members of the jury. First juror, first whatever, Kelly Goldsmith. The ever flamboyant, Brandon Quinton. His movie date, Frank Garrison. Then Lil' Kim Powers. And the T-Bird, Teresa Cooper. And, of course, our final four. The goat farmer, known as Big Tom Buchanan. Grandmaster Lex. And Fenton Berg. Big Kim Johnson. And Ethan Zorn, now millionaire.
My stuff!
Everybody remembers the Ethan Zorn thing. And, like, Ethan has the best look on his face when he says it. But, like, I had forgotten all those other ones. These, like, delightful superlatives that he throws in. Like, yeah. The Harvard-based hugger. And you haven't seen all of Lindsay until you see her audition tape. And then the best one, I think, like the most uncomfortable, is when he says, the ever flamboyant Brandon Quinton. Like, what? Why did he think this was an okay thing to say?
What does he say about Kelly Goldsmith?
The first juror, first whatever.
Why is she the first whatever?
I have no idea. It's like he questions whether she was the first juror. It's like, no, she was. You're fine.
Yeah, he was really checked out by this point.
Like, it's so clear that he has no idea what the hell's going on. He has, like, a bunch of folders with him and, like, doesn't know what these people's names are. Like, he really struggles with Lex's name and then Ethan Zorn. Like, this guy has just won the season and you can't even pronounce his name correctly.
He butchers Carl's last name also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a rough clip there for Bryant Gumbel.
Not his best work.
Not his best work. Sadly, or depending on the way you look at it, his absolute best work.
And not the last time he will appear on this countdown.
Oh, okay. Oh, a tease for more Bryant Gumbel coming up later. All right. Good work there on that find back in the Survivor Africa reunion. All right, Lindsay, what's number 14 on your list?
So this one comes from Survivor Pearl Islands. So first time we're seeing them on the list. So Propes has just gone out into the audience and he wants to talk to Fairplay's grandmother and he wants to get her take on the dead grandma thing. And first of all, she also says, like, how'd you feel about all this? And the grandmother's like, well, I mean, it's outsmart, out, Yeah, and just kind of trails off. So that's a little uncomfortable. But then she basically says she's fine with the lie. And so Jeff goes back to Fairplay for comment, and I think he immediately regrets it because John gives him a little more than he bargained for.
Okay, here's Fairplay.
John, any remorse at all thinking back on that a little bit?
No way. Are you kidding me? So, shoot, maybe all stars, my grandpa will die. I don't know.
It's the audience reaction that's so funny in this one. Like, he thinks he's making a really funny joke, and then you can literally hear booing and hissing. Like, people are like, no, how dare you spoil what the next season is going to be.
People are really so upset. Mad. Jeff is speechless so also.
He just handles it so badly. Like, if he had said anything to take the moment,
yeah,
to take away some of the power that he's giving it. But, like, you literally hear him and he goes, huh. Like, he just has no idea what to say.
Yeah. You know, just in fairness, I think that everybody was probably really caught off guard. If I remember correctly, I think we got back from Survivor All-Stars. And I say we, but I was not with the people that were on the jury. But I think that, like, we got home that weekend. So it was, like, very close in terms of the filming to that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like, I always wondered, it seems weird to me that Jeff kind of goes, doesn't make anything of the fact that All-Stars is the next season. So normally he has this whole package about what the next season is going to be, and he hypes it up. And All-Stars, you would think, like, he has these huge names coming back. It's the first time they've ever brought anybody back. And he goes, All-Stars is next, we'll see you next year. And then he just closes the show. And I always kind of wondered if that was because Fairplay is kind of, he blew up his spot. He took away the suspense of the moment.
Oh, no. I think that these things are pretty well, like, organized in advance. I don't think that they, you know, scuttled the package they were going to show. I think that they just had, like, a major, like, hype plan that they were going to unveil.
I guess so, yeah. That makes more sense. But I like the idea that Fairplay just, abort, like, completely
abort,
threw
abort.
Else.
Johnny Fairplay ruined it. Okay, go to...
It's ruined. Yes.
Go to commercial. Let's get out.
We wasted the good surprise on you.
Yeah. All right, on that note... Yeah, now Jeff, he can transition
exactly,
with the best of them. Yeah. Okay.
That's right.
Lindsay, number 13 on your countdown. Where are we going?
So for this one, we are again going back to Africa, back to Bryant. And again, not the last time we will see him.
Okay.
So this is, again, a really small moment that I hadn't remembered at all, but now I cannot get it out of my brain. So it's a very pervy Bryant Gumbel moment, which we're kind of used to. But just to set up the context, Little Kim, so I guess I should go back even further. They used to do audition video clips in the reunion. So the first, like, five seasons, they were showing people's audition videos. And I, this one comes to us from Little Kim, and she has done this video where she's in the bathtub and she's, like, covered in bubbles. And so then Bryant has questions about this.
Hmm.
You should put me on Survivor, and let me tell you why. On the application, you asked if we had any body art or tattoos, and I do. I have a small red rose tattoo. But you'll have to put me on the show to find out where it is. It's under this bubble somewhere.
Oh, Kim, there's wed woes. Where is it?
Yeah, what is that?
It's this weird Elmer Fudd voice. Like, oh my God, just the way that he asks it is so uncomfortable.
Yes. He has a lot of questions about any women's audition video that involves them getting naked.
Definitely. He has so many questions. And just, like, the voice. I mean, I can kind of understand it, kind of, if he's going to ask a follow-up question about her having this mysterious tattoo. But, like, why the voice? Why do you need that voice?
Yeah, I don't get it. But there's a lot of things about Bryant Gumbel that we don't understand.
I think that's fair. And, I mean, Kim handles it really well. She goes, like, Big Tom knows. So her answer kind of diffuses a little bit. But, like, oh, that is not a comfortable question to be asked.
Yeah. Lindsay, where are we going with number 12 on our countdown?
So number 12 is actually the clip that inspired this in the first place. Ooh. I saw it and it made me think that probably there were more of these moments. This one, we're going to Survivor China. And in this one, we're getting into the subject of Courtney's weight. So she was really skinny on the show, and a lot of people were sort of speculating about whether this was cause for concern, whether anything was going on. And so all I have to say about this is that it's very clear that we're still a few years out from the Jeff Probst talk show, because surely by now he has gotten better at handling delicate situations, because this is not the best.
Let's go back to Survivor China. Very fruitful reunion show so far for our purposes here today.
Let's talk about the thing that was probably the most common question about you is your weight, the weight issue. You started this at 93 pounds. That was your starting weight. You came off the show at 86 pounds, so you lost 7% of your body weight. Anorexic eating disorder, what's the deal? Answer the question.
Well, Jeff, this is something I've just gotten in my entire life, all through high school. It was very, like, you know, very popular to, you know, health teachers were always all over me. And, you know, it's just, I come from a small family. I saw my dad on the show. He's tall and thin. My brother's in the audience. He's built just like me, too. Hey, Brent. And, you know, that's just the way it is. I don't really get too bent out of shape about it. Whatever.
People, so you've heard this enough that it's...
Yeah.
And your weight now is actually more than what it was when the show started.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks.
Yeah, not great. Like, it's
good
just
to hear the opening to this question one more time. Make sure I'm hearing this correctly.
Yes, please.
Let's talk about the thing that was probably the most common question about you is your weight, the weight issue. You started this at 93 pounds. That was your starting weight. You came off the show at 86 pounds, so you lost 7% of your body weight. Anorexic eating disorder, what's the deal? Answer the question.
Yeah, why was he so
it's so
adamant
bad
about
he's
it.
So aggressive about it. Answer the question.
Yeah,
like, oh, it's so aggressive. But I feel like, yeah, like, she handles it pretty well too, I think, and then he just makes it weird again. Leads her to be like, Jeff Probst just called me fat.
I mean, it is weird to sort of start and end with, hey, do you have an eating disorder? And then to end it with, and by the way, you are heavier now than you were before. So if there really
like
was that legitimate concern, right, maybe not the best way to shine a light on it.
Yeah, and I have to think that Jeff today doesn't ask that in such an aggressive way, but it's pretty bad.
Yeah, so, well, he's hosted many more of these since then and only gotten better at his job, so hopefully by the time that Heroes versus Villains happens, he doesn't even ask Courtney about this, so may we make progress.
He's learned a valuable lesson.
Yes, we've learned valuable lessons along the way, but yeah, he really was badgering the witness on this question.
Very much so, and Courtney's just like, well, Jeff, like, I feel like she plays it off as a joke, but it was definitely, he was coming at her on that question for sure.
Okay. Lindsay, number 11, where are we going?
So this one, I think, is probably one of the most infamous awkward moments on the list. And I think it's the one that made people say, all right, Jeff, stop going into the audience. This one comes from Survivor Kara Moen, and it involves Jeff going out into the audience to speak with one of Malcolm's biggest fans, who is Jules, or as we better know her, the girl with braces. So Jeff's been talking about how Malcolm really seems to have a lot of fans who are young people, and he wants to get sort of a firsthand account of what young people like about Malcolm. So he does, but I think maybe Jules is not quite ready for this spotlight, and it sort of unravels.
There are so many fans of yours and Cochran that are young people today, but we saw one earlier, and I wanted to find out what it is. Jules, stand up. How are you?
Good.
Are you nervous?
Yes.
Okay. Let me put my arm around you. Boston Rob's in front of you. Rudy's behind you. You are surrounded by Survivor royalty. What is it about Malcolm? All the little girls and boys like him.
That he is competitive. And
so is it the hair, or is it just that he's so good at everything?
I think both.
You took your time with that. Do you want to do Survivor? Is that something you would do one day?
I'm not sure. I think I'd have to have time to think about that.
Okay, I'm not asking you to be on the show right now. I'm just putting the thought in your head because you remind me of Andrea.
Oh.
Go up to Andrea.
Like, this one's so bad for me because it's just so easy to see myself as that girl with braces, like, throw in some glasses and bad skin. And that was me at that age. Like, it's just so hard to imagine that millions of people saw this moment. And I feel like she kind of blew it.
Yeah, young Andrea.
Young Andrea, yeah. I wonder how Andrea felt about that.
Wow. Such great backstory to young Andrea. And so impressed with Malcolm. And I only hope that girl with braces was prepared for the combined tribal council. Because I hope that she... was crushed by it. Because it's probably a lot to handle for her.
For sure. And something else that I really love about it is that she thinks Jeff is like offering her a spot on Survivor right now.
Yeah. Are we leaving now? Is this like Survivor Second Chances? Are we going right from here? Do I have to go? I've got to talk to my
parents. Because
I'd
like a minute to think about it.
Yeah. Let me contemplate this. Let me talk this over with my counsel right now. Sorry, Jeff. I'm too distracted.
She seems very underwhelmed.
There's too much Survivor royalty around me with Boston Rob in front of me and Rudy behind me.
Exactly, exactly. And she's just like not into the idea. Like, yeah, I'm going to have to get back to you on that one, Jeff.
Hey, trust me, young Andrea. One day we'll play together in Redemption Island. I'll teach you everything I know. And then you can be a three-time player.
Not get asked a question at the reunion.
Young Andrea, it's not worth it. Okay. All right. So, so much going on there at the Survivor Karamoan reunion. Do we have any shots of the pre-jury people sitting in the audience also, or that would not work for audio?
Well, I did think about how we could incorporate that, but that's actually, I think, part of what adds insult to injury with that clip is like half the cast isn't even on stage and she gets like 3 minutes to talk about Malcolm.
Yeah, we can't talk to Corinne, but girl with braces, young Andrea.
Young Andrea, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, why is Malcolm so dreamy?
Because of his competitive spirit.
All right, so we are halfway home with your countdown. Let me just take another quick moment and thank the people over at TrueCar, because it's never awkward when you go to get a car from TrueCar, because you get real pricing on actual inventory. When you're looking to buy a car, you want to make sure you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. A lot of times that's not the case. People configure their car online only to find out that that price and that car is not available. With TrueCar, you get real pricing on the actual inventory. And it's not pricing offered by TrueCar. Pricing, it's offered by the dealer, a TrueCar certified dealer, a carefully curated network of dealers committed to transparency and offering you a competitive market price. Lindsay, you know who wasn't committed to transparency?
Who's that, Rob?
Lunch lady / custodian Denise. She was not. The people at TrueCar certainly will be. They'll help you find the car you want, and they'll show you what other people in your area are paying for the same car you're looking for. Then, with a fair price in hand, you can feel confident. Over 3 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, with over 13,000 TrueCar dealers nationwide. You could work with a TrueCar Certified Dealer contact. And best of all, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. And I know that money would go a long way with James Miller back way back when. So when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. All right, here we are. The top 10 most awkward reunion show moments, Lindsay. Where are we going next?
Well, Rob, actually, we're halfway through the podcast, and I'm starting to get a little hungry, I gotta say. So maybe we should head over to Heroes versus Villains and see if anyone can suggest something.
Okay.
We're getting into these moments that people recognize now, I think. You're gonna know what this one is.
Okay, let's go and hear what Stephanie LaGrossa has to say.
Stephanie! You, kind of like Colby came in terms of women, you represented this ideal of great competitor, physical, also, shoulder halfway out of your body on day one. You never really got up to speed.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was like very grateful to come back a third time. And I knew that there was a good chance I was going to go very early in this game. I mean, there's like probably three of us here that really doesn't hang out with any of these other people. So, then the shoulder dislocation was extremely unfortunate.
Did you have fun?
I mean, I was there like 6 days. I tried to have fun, but I was on the outs before the game even began. But Jeff, I'll tell you this. It's nothing that a filet mignon pizza can't cure at my restaurant. GG. GG Restaurant and Lounge. Jeff, what else do I have? Come on.
So blatant.
Jeff, what else do I have? I have nothing.
Yeah, come on.
Throw me a freaking bone here. Just trying to sell a pizza. GG's. Come on. What else do I have?
Jeff, what else do I have? Come on.
It is like, honestly, Jeff doesn't get as mad as I always expect him to when I watch this, because like he's not pleased when people mention their Twitter handles. So like the idea that he wouldn't get super upset about people promoting their restaurants, like he actually handles it reasonably well. But like it's just such a ridiculous example of someone being so blatant about self-promotion.
The crowd really howls too here.
They do.
It's nothing that a filet mignon pizza can't cure at my restaurant. GG. GG Restaurant and Lounge.
The crowd really does go nuts there. The crowd goes wild.
Exactly. Yes. And like, I feel like they just recognize that, like, I see what is happening here. This is terrible. What are you doing? But, you know, and I feel like she recognizes that it's terrible. So she immediately goes into damage control. Like, what else do I have? Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
I got fired from my job. Okay.
Just like everybody else.
Just like everybody else. You know, that way back when I used to be friends with a person named Coconut Boy, and that he was looking for a pizza as well.
If only he could have gotten one.
If only Coconut Boy could have gotten his hands on a filet mignon pizza. That would have made him feel better, too.
Yes, he wouldn't have had to quit the game.
Yeah. But did you have fun? I always say that is like the most patronizing question that there is that get asked a reunion show. That's like the equivalent of like, I have nothing else to ask you, but did you have fun?
Yeah, you're right. You were only there for 6 days. Yeah. Why am I even talking to you?
Okay. All right. Where are we going with number 9?
So number 9 is one that I think you will probably remember pretty well, Rob, mm-hmm. as you got to see it in person. So this one comes to us from Survivor All-Stars. And we've just heard about how Boston Rob and Lex are basically never going to speak to each other again. And now we're in the middle of hearing about how Big Tom basically hates Rob and Amber, doesn't appreciate the way Rob is speaking to him. So in comes none other than Jerry Manthe, who wants to tell us just what the cost of making this show is and why we should feel bad about watching it.
Jerry.
I've got to say something, okay? This whole thing is making me so sick.
Say it.
This show is a show about entertainment. This entertainment is coming at a price. What it has cost us, our friendships, our feelings, our pain, our suffering.
Wait, Jerry.
Our entertainment.
Hang on. It's cost some of you friendships.
We all signed up for it voluntarily.
Colby.
Boy. Crowd not loving that one.
Not loving that one. And Jenna Lewis, the voice of reason.
Hang on. It's cost some of you friendships.
We all signed up for it voluntarily.
Colby.
What friendship did Jerry lose on Survivor All Stars?
I mean, I feel like she's just speaking on Lex's behalf. Like, he is not even friends with Boston Rob anymore.
Yeah, come on. What else do I have? I have no friendships.
What else do I have? And no filet mignon pizza.
Yeah.
Maybe later. She's going to play with Stephanie later.
Yeah, one of these days, eventually. Jerry is getting sick.
This whole thing is making me so sick.
Is there a healer around?
That's what we need, really. Yeah. Like, and it's funny because this time when I was watching it, I noticed that you have your face just buried in your hands. So, like, was this awkward to sit through?
It was awkward in that Jerry was making that moment about herself. And I don't think that anybody has sympathy for the Survivor contestants that are like, we're people. Look at, like, we're not just your playthings for entertainment. Like, well, we all kind of wanted to go on this show.
Yeah, like you already did this once. You kind of knew what you were getting into.
Yeah, we went back. It's not like, look how you're treating us. So I always thought this was a real attention grab from Jerry.
World's tiniest violin.
Yeah. And I don't know if anybody ultimately ended up feeling bad for her, but she walks off the stage and then they do like a bit with her coming back on America's Tribal Council on Thursday. So well played on her part.
Yes, yes, for sure. And Jeff's like, and I mean, we all like Jerry. She's great. And the audience is like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
You did something bad.
It was
appropriately
a big crowd.
Chastised.
Yes. It was a rough reunion show in a lot of different ways. A very emotional, high strung night.
Mm-hmm.
A lot going on there, Lindsay.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. All right. Where are we going with clip number 8?
So this one I actually feel a little bit bad about including because the subject of this clip just did a really wonderful podcast with you and mm-hmm. basically spent a lot of time talking about how much he hates appearing on reunions. So I do feel a little bad about this, but I also have to imagine he would be okay with the suggestion that maybe sometimes he's in awkward situations. So we are, of course, talking about John Cochran, and at the Blood vs. Water finale, he gets approached in the audience by Jeff and is asked to talk about his new life writing for the Millers, and Cochran is all too happy to tell us about that.
Yes, my favorite character from the Millers was
my stuff!
All right, here is, which finale is this? What season?
Blood vs. Water.
Blood Water. Okay, here we go.
The past 7 months of my life have been a series of dreams coming true, and working for the Millers has been the latest one.
And you were nice enough, you actually shot some behind the scenes to let us sort of give us some insight into how it's going.
Yeah, this will give you a glimpse of what it's like.
All right, take a look.
Cochran, grab a seat.
So you wanted to talk.
Yeah, how do you like him writing on the show?
I'm loving it. I can't say enough about the people who are here.
Wait, Cochran worked with Lego Batman?
Exactly, wow. Yes. That's that voice.
People like you too much. They're always asking me about the writer who won Survivor. What am I supposed to be talking about myself?
Listen, I'm not trying to be a threat.
Yeah, well, you are a threat. Even my agent agrees. Look what he sent over for me to start wearing. I look like a fool. Sorry, Cochran. You leave me no choice.
Oh, come on. There's more than enough room for 2 sweater vests at the Millers.
The first person voted off the Millers is...
Actually, I'm not going anywhere this week, Arnett.
Oh, yeah?
Look what I found.
I hid this in the ladies' room.
The men's room is occupied, and I really had to go.
Well played, Cocky. Well played.
Not a nickname that stuck.
No, it was not. In fairness, my mom told me at the time that she did really like that skit.
Oh, well, we should probably start over then. Should we take this out?
No. It's fine. I think it probably loses something without the visual here.
I think so. But like, I feel like it kind of speaks for itself. Like, it's just so silly and weird. And it takes up like 3 minutes of the reunion.
Yeah.
And
that was pretty cheap.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Well played.
Yeah. All right. Number 7 on the list of awkward reunion show moments. Where are we going?
Well, I think it's been long enough. We need another song. And so I think we should go to Palau for one last time, where we'll get another musical interlude from a well-known Survivor character in the RHAP universe in the form of Wanda.
I have to ask, Wanda, I'm guessing you prepared a song for...
You betcha.
Yeah, I hope it's short. Go for it.
We were stranded on Palauan shores with coconuts and rats. We survived the heat, found some food to eat, and some survived the spats. We're survivors, we faced and passed the test. And in history, all the world will see that Survivor 10 was best.
No, you're done!
Stop!
Was she gonna go into the second verse?
She was definitely gonna go into a second verse. Like, she takes a big breath and puts her arms out and like, oh, it's so funny.
Oh, you're done!
Shuts it down. So good.
What else do I have, Jeff? I'm ready to sing.
This is all I have. I didn't even get to play.
Good on Wanda that all of her songs are all like public domain covers also.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Very good.
You didn't even have to get the music on this one because everybody just claps.
Yeah. All right. Good work by Wanda and her song. Wonderful. I'm surprised they didn't end up using that as the Survivor theme song moving forward.
That is a surprise. I mean, it's so good. And, like, I get uncomfortable even when people sing in front of me if they're good. Like, if someone's too earnest about singing, it makes me really uncomfortable. And she's so enthusiastic, and she's just singing her heart out. And it's just, it's very special to watch. But I'm very glad that it happened, if for no other reason than we got Josh. So,
yes.
Well worth it.
Yes. It was the performance that spawned a 1,000 Survivor song parodies by Wanda.
Exactly.
In the 9 seconds of screen time she had across Survivor Palau. Okay. Number 6 on your list, Lindsay, what is it?
So the next several clips are all sort of similar thematically, and they're all sort of dealing with crossing into that rather pervy territory that we often get into on Survivor.
Okay.
So the first one comes to us in the form of Coach's lady friend, who is Melinda Trettner, and it's the Survivor Token Teens reunion, and Jeff asks Coach to tell us, like, who he's brought with him, and he lists, like, everyone in his life, all of his coaching staff and everything, and then he ends with a special lady friend, and so Jeff decides to get her unique take on what Coach is like outside of the game, and in particular in one domain.
Lady friend. What's lady friend's name?
Melinda Trettner.
Melinda, stand up real quick. Come on. Question. Simple answer. Is the coach, lie detector test, is the coach we saw on the show, is that the guy you know?
Unfortunately, you only saw Coach and not Ben Wade, who I know and love.
So there is another side to him. Dragon Slayer doesn't make it into the bedroom, or does?
Slay the dragon.
You slay the dragon. All right.
My stuff.
I just love that Jeff makes this, like, horrified noise. He's like, ugh. Just don't want to go there.
Yeah. This is rare that the band gives a rim shot to Melinda Trettner.
Actually, I slay the dragon.
Yeah. You slay the dragon. All right.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Jeff has brought this on himself. Like, he brought this horrible line of questioning up himself, and he has to, you know, deal with what he has sown.
Yeah. What is the difference between the different personas of Ben Wade? Is there a difference between, is he the Dragon Slayer in the bedroom versus is he Coach in the bedroom?
Yeah, that's a fair question. I mean, he must be Coach. Well, I don't know. Yes, he's the Dragon.
I don't know. Now, Jeff, we're not going to talk about
that. Was that the name of the band.
Yes, that was the name of the band. So I guess there must have been groupies from the Dragons.
Oh, maybe that's how they met. Maybe he had like a first version of the band, and then this was the second version when they got to Heroes versus Villains.
Yeah. This is really like the height of Coach popularity also.
Definitely. That's definitely best Coach.
Yes, best Coach right there, where he was just his game was strong in terms of like his character. He was like a widely popular pre-Russell. This is like this is peak Coach right here.
Well, and the lead up to that question is actually really funny, too, because he's been talking to Debbie and he's like, so what's it like being a school principal? And then you go on Survivor, and then she starts to answer. He's like, I'm sorry, shut up. I can't talk to you. Coach, we have to talk about this some more. He just cuts her off.
More Coach. That's what we need here. Everybody knows. Like, everybody knows.
I'm sorry, Debbie.
It's perfect.
It's not your
Less
show.
Debbie. More Coach. That's right. What else do I have? Okay. Let's do number 5 on your list.
So number 5 is very similar to number 6. So it's a game of inches here, but this one is just a little bit ickier to me. So it was higher on the list, but it comes to us from Survivor One World and one of the season's most unique characters, Tarzan. And once again, Jeff decides to go for it and bring the bedroom into his line of questioning. And I just really don't think he anticipates the reaction that he gets.
And what else do I have, people? Come on. All right.
Have there been times when you've had to say Tarzan? I did. Do you say Tarzan to him, by the way?
No. Yes.
I know. Sometimes you do. Okay. I'm sure he knows.
Tarzan! Tarzan scream is just like, it's so gross to me.
Yes. Boy, this is one quantum entanglement that I wish we could get out of.
Indeed, indeed. It's just so bad.
Tarzan. Yes, so much Survivor One World back in our lives this week.
I know, all of a sudden we're all about the Zans.
Yes. Can I hear that one more time? It was short. So this is Jeff talking with Mrs. Tarzan.
Have there been times when you've had to say, Tarzan, I did. Do you say Tarzan doing, by the way?
No.
Yes. I know sometimes you do.
Tarzan in the background, like the scream that he makes is just, oh God, it's terrible.
And I'm sure he yells.
Oh, it's so bad.
Okay, too bad we don't ever have talk of Tarzan coming back.
I know. Do you think he was ever in talks or anything?
Well, we should have asked Troyzan this week if we had a chance to get Tarzan's thoughts on this season.
Yeah, I'm sure he would have appreciated talking about another Zan.
Yeah.
He's been so fond of all of you people lately.
All right. Only four clips remain in the most awkward moments countdown. Lindsay, where are we going next?
We're heading into some rarefied air here. Number four, this is our final moment with Bryant Gumbel. And so this was actually the first thing that came to my head after the Courtney eating disorder thing. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be so easy. We have this great moment. So I remember this being uncomfortable even at the time. It comes from Survivor Australia. And our boy, Bryant Gumbel, I mean, he says he really feels that Elizabeth and Amber could have done maybe a little bit more if they wanted to become more famous mm-hmm. as a result of Survivor, if they had only made different fashion choices.
But I mean, you guys are sitting at home and we're watching these lovely young ladies, which reminds me, Amber, Elizabeth, yes. having watched the first one and seeing all the attention that Colleen and Jenna got for those bikinis. What was the deal with those bathing suits?
Strategy.
What are you talking about? That's my line.
Strategy or modesty?
No, I was just thinking, if I'm going to do challenges in these bathing suits and swimming in these bathing suits, I didn't want my top falling down anywhere. And also, you know, you had to go with the short. Thing.
Elizabeth?
She had the same idea.
You needed the shorts. You feel a little more comfortable, and I thought bright in case something drastic would happen. Someone could definitely find me in the pink.
All right. We'll let it go with that.
Hey Bryant, smarten up. Knock it off.
Leave my girl alone.
Yeah. Shut your mouth. Smarten up.
It's just such a pervy question.
Yeah. Elizabeth, if you want to have a career... You need to follow some simple directions and get a skimpier outfit. Come on.
If only she had done that, she may have become famous. Imagine.
Yes. And perhaps a wed woes tattoo.
A wed woes. Oh, it's so bad. And then like he ends it with like, all right, we'll leave it at that. It's like, what else were you going to say? Like, please stop. These girls are like 20 years old that you just need to stop.
Stock it off, Bryant Gumbel. Enough. Enough with that. What else do I have? Come on. Come on.
I only have one more season to go.
I only have one more season. Okay. They're paying me in audition videos. Okay.
I've got the full copy in my trailer.
Three moments left, Lindsay. What is next on the countdown?
So, number three, and really, once again, we are returning to China, because I honestly hadn't thought that it was going to be this awkward a reunion, but it was very ripe for awkward moments. So this one is unquestionably the most awkward of the three that we've talked about. So Jeff is talking to Jamie Dugan about her flirtation with Eric, and he asks if they've continued their relationship outside the game, and Jamie confirms that indeed they have, and now they're dating. So then Jeff goes to Eric for comment, and he wants Tim to settle the question that is on everybody's mind.
Okay, here we go. Here is Eric.
So, Eric, on the show, it's very clear that you are a virgin. Right?
Ooh. The only thing better than $1 million is $1 million and some...
So it begs the question, Eric, dating Jamie, are you still a virgin?
There.
Of course.
My mama's watching.
I think we should really give an honorable mention to John Robert here for the most
really
awkward
should.
Part of this.
Most inappropriate comment.
Yeah. Super inappropriate and awkward there for John Robert. So knock that off. Okay. We know that they go on to have a baby. So we know that the answer to that question, what it ultimately is. But we don't get the categorical deny of the virgin status from Eric here.
Well, my favorite thing is that Eric goes, "Of course." And Jeff goes, or James in the background goes, "Mama's watching."
Yeah. So, Jeff knows what the viewers want to know. He's
That's
tapped
right.
in.
All the burning questions.
Nice work by my predecessor.
No. He was taught by the best.
Yeah. I taught him everything he knows to ask these questions at the finale. It's all I have. Okay. Somehow, the coach and Brian Gumbel have just become one person now at this point.
Sound quite similar.
In the
John Robert is getting ready to fill in the spot here. He's ready to take over if need be.
Okay. All right. So there you go. Jamie Dugan and Eric Huffman clocking in here in the top three. Only two moments are left, Lindsay.
That's right. And I think, you know, you could go either way on these moments. But number two... Before we get into it, I just want to say, Rob, I think this is just the best podcast out there. And anyone who is voting for the best podcast should definitely vote for this one because it truly deserves to win. So now that I've given you that little stump speech, or you might say the half Murphy, I think it's time for someone to propose so we can have the full Murphy. And I think that this is probably one of the awkward moments you think of first when you think about how weird these things get. So this is from Redemption Island. David Murphy is asked by Jeff about his love life, and with no encouragement or prodding whatsoever, he decides to take it a step further.
Here is the great David Murphy.
And I heard a rumor that I'd like to investigate quickly, that there is another love affair. The survivor has blossomed yet another love affair. And typically at tribal council, I would just go digging until I found it. But since it's love, and love is tender and beautiful, David, why don't you just tell me about this? Is it true? Are you dating another survivor?
I am. Not a current cast member. It's a former cast member. And we met shortly after the season finished up. And
who
we
is
got
it?
Back.
Okay.
It's Carolina, who's sitting right over here in the second row.
Oh, Carolina Eastwood from Token Cheese.
That's correct.
Was it love at first sight?
I don't know that I would go so far as to say love at first sight. She kind of put me in my place a few times before she actually gave me the time of day. But eventually she came around and was kind enough to give me a little attention.
And how is the relationship going now?
You know, it's going very well. Things are going pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Are you still a virgin?
How well is it going?
Yes, how well is it going?
It's going very well.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, very well as in, gee, I'd like to maybe really make this official?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the good idea right now. You knew I was up there. Carolina, you are the most amazing woman that I've ever met, and you challenge me.
Shut it down right now. Shut it down.
You drive me nuts, but at the end of the day, you've made me happier than I could ever ask to be. So will you marry me, please?
Shut the flipping front door. Survivor loves blindsiding me. Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Wow.
Yeah. Did you say shut it down?
Shut it down right now.
Shut it down. There's a lot of great stuff there, especially the part where Jeff is like sort of getting to, okay, could we cut to the chase a little bit here? And
so how well is it going?
Yes. Is it going like well enough that you want to do something?
Like we've talked about this, maybe?
Yeah, that seems like a perfectly reasonable thing to do right now.
Like, and, oh my God. And I feel like there's something sort of weird about the fact that he's like, will you marry me, please? Like, I don't know, the way that he says it and then her response, she looks so horrified.
I didn't catch the please.
You challenge me.
Shut it down right now. Shut it down.
You drive me nuts, but at the end of the day, you've made me happier than I could ever ask to be. So will you marry me, please?
Shut the flipping front door.
The shades of Sierra.
Shut the front door.
And she says it and everything. Oh, they're basically the same.
Wow. Amazing, sad story to report. I don't believe they made it to the altar. I don't know. I'm not sure what happened there.
Yes. I think this story got even more awkward very soon after.
Yes. Survivor never stopped blindsiding Carolina.
That's right. Like, they're both just so horrified by this. Like, both of them seem to think that this is a terrible idea. Like, David Murphy's almost trying to get out of it.
Shut it down. It's all I have. This is all I have. Come on.
Well, I feel like one of the underreported stories is that, like, if you actually watch the clip, Amber is sitting like two rows ahead and she's got this look on her face like, yeah, it's been done.
Yeah, she's rolling her eyes. Amber, but what about that bathing suit? Have you thought about that yet? Have you thought about
it? You could be really famous.
Yes, you could, maybe. There's only one moment left to go in the most awkward Survivor reunion show moments of all time. So many different things to pick from. Where are you going with number one?
Well, Rob, Survivor is currently pushing some of its favorite moments on CBS for your Emmy consideration.
Ooh.
But I think this one may merit a Golden Globe nomination. See what I did there?
I see.
Yes, indeed. Now, this one makes the list a little top heavy, if you will go with me on this one. Mm-hmm. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. It's Kat Ederson at the Blood vs. Water reunion. Jeff is talking to Hayden about the difference between playing Survivor and playing Big Brother, and Kat is sort of like nudging him into saying that everyone should follow them on Twitter. And then Jeff actually goes to Kat to talk about the state of their relationship, because we all knew that maybe it was a little up in the air after she got voted out pre-merge.
Mm-hmm. Here is Kat at the Survivor Bloodwater finale.
Kat, you said one of the funniest lines of the season. I don't know if people remember it, but you didn't make the merge, and you said in your tucking in at night, you go, who's going to want to date a girl that doesn't make the merge?
David Murphy. Oh, sorry.
Who's going to want to date a girl that doesn't make the merge? What's the update? Are you guys still a couple?
Well, Russell Feathers and I, we are still a couple, and we live in two different states, so we're trying to see if we can get into one state, and, I've made some arrangements on my own to just, get on his level a little bit, so whatever, so maybe I'm a little top heavy now, I get it.
Wait, but what are you talking
about? I'm a little top heavy now.
You changed your body.
I changed a little bit of a look for me, but
to keep Hayden happy. Is that what you're saying?
No.
I'm so confused.
Yeah, what are you saying?
It worked out.
Okay.
It worked out.
You're still
that
together.
Way.
Colton is hugging Marissa. I have no idea what's going on, but touche.
Touche.
Okay.
My stuff.
It's so bad. Like,
I want to go through this for posterity purposes. Just one more time and see if we could try to finally figure out what she's talking about here. We could take it from
a minute. You go, who's going to want to date a girl that doesn't make the merge? What's the update? Are you guys still a couple?
Okay, what's the update? This is pretty straightforward.
Well, Russell Feathers and I, we are still a couple, and we live in two different states, so we're trying to see if we can get into one state, and, I've made some arrangements on my own.
Now, I've made some arrangements on my own. What is she talking? Has she gotten into the top-heavy part yet? What is the arrangements that she's doing?
Initially, you're kind of thinking, like, she's made some arrangements, like she's going to move into another state. But then she sort of starts waving vaguely in the direction of her chest.
The arrangements was the surgery?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I just want to make sure I'm following.
To just, get on his level a little bit.
Get on his level because that's the level, the Hayden level. Got that. Okay.
Indeed.
So, whatever. So maybe I'm a little top heavy now. I get it.
Wait,
but
what?
So whatever. Okay, I get
so whatever,
it. I'm a little top heavy. I got it.
Like, I don't know why you keep bringing it up, Jeff.
I get it. You want me to talk about my chest. I got it. Okay, whatever. Like, nobody's talking
about
that.
I'm up here, Jeff.
Whatever. I get it. What else do I have? Come on.
This is all I have. I was voted out before
all I
the
have.
Merge.
I didn't make the merge.
Are you talking?
I'm a little top heavy now.
You changed your body.
I changed a little bit of a look for me, but
to keep Hayden happy. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not sure if that's what she's saying. Is that what she's saying?
I mean, she says to get on his level.
Well, to me, it's like she's like making it sound like, or like that this is like something that Hayden said, hey, that in some like Biff Tannen sort of way, like, hey, that I'm not going to be seen with somebody who hasn't undergone some sort of surgery, where it seems like it's more coming from like, hey, I got to get this guy's attention. He's in another state. I got to make some arrangements.
I got to be memorable.
Yeah. I got to, you know, in a totally different state from me right now. Somebody needs to make some arrangements stat.
Like, she's just dying to tell this story. Like, yes. No one has said anything about
and
this.
And he's, like, mortified. Like, oh, he's, like,
so
he's like, please, please. I can't move to a different state soon enough.
I'm so confused.
No.
It worked out.
Okay.
It worked out.
You're still together. Colton is hugging Marissa. I have no idea what's going on, but touche.
Touche.
Okay.
Okay. I gotta agree with the countdown. I think that is the most awkward moment in the history of the reunion show.
Well, I remember watching it when it first aired, and I was just like, I couldn't even look at the screen. I feel like I was covering my face because it was just so bad.
We talked about that for quite a while on the podcast.
Understandably.
Yes. The Great Survivor Blood Water Reunion. And yeah, if you go back to it, I think that Brad was down in that front row. He's almost in the same spot that he was in back in this year reunion. So we've come full circle.
That's right. Do you think if he had won that they would have brought Monica up on stage to sit beside him?
Yes, I think that that's probably what they would have done. WWMD and put Monica
Indeed.
Up there. Lindsay, this was so much fun to go back through some of these great reunion show moments. Do you feel like that you've keyed in on one specific thing that makes a perfectly awkward reunion show moment going through these clips?
I mean, it seems to get really awkward when we start getting into the sort of pervy territory, but it seems to be just the lack of self-awareness. Anytime you can get someone who says something and then it starts spiraling out of control and they don't realize what's happening. Like, it's ripe for comedy.
Yeah. It seems like that in a couple of these moments, other than sort of like fishing for pervy stuff, it's almost like that, you know, Jeff is hunting for something, like prompting somebody to do something, but there's like some confusion about what they're supposed to do. Maybe when we're trying to, you know, force in like that Jeff wants them to say something, but they're not quite sure of what he's going for, which does bring us back to a classic Jeff rule.
If you try to force it and it doesn't fit, it probably doesn't belong there.
Sage words to live by on the reunion show
Indeed.
As well. Okay.
Indeed.
Lindsay.
Never forget them.
What a hot streak you're on here in 2017. First, you previewed Sarah Lucina before she went on to win the game. Now we've done this fantastic countdown of the perfectly awkward list. Now, if I recall, you are not on the Twitter.
That is correct.
Did you join
Still
Twitter
not
since
joining
then?
The 21st century.
Will you get on our level and join Twitter? Will you make some,
make
arrangements,
some arrangements to get
Twitter?
On social media.
No, not yet. Okay. So, Lindsay, do you have a hashtag for other people who are on that level to use?
Oh, geez. I should have thought about this ahead of time.
Yes. Okay.
Do you have anything written down?
I think we have to go with Coconut Boy in honor of the nickname of great Jeff Wilson.
I mean, first of all, I am officially Coconut Boy. I mean, anywhere I go, anybody that talks to me, I'm Coconut Boy. That's how it goes. I mean, it can't get any worse than that. But for me,
it can't get any worse than that.
Do you think that when Twitter was invented, Jeff Wilson was at Coconut Boy?
I really hope so. I feel like he definitely has a Google alert set up or something, so you're probably going to hear from him now. Like, oh, it's all happening. They're tweeting about Coconut Boy.
You would think at the very least he was myspace.com/Coconut Boy at one point.
You have to imagine. It was a different time.
It was a different time. Okay. So be on the lookout for that. Great stuff, Lindsay. Thank you again so much for putting together this list and finding all of these clips. I know it was a lot of hard work to get to this point.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me back.
Okay. Great to have you back. We got a lot more coming up here on the podcast. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments on robhasawebsite.com. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We were stranded on Palawan shores with coconuts and rats. We survived the heat, found some food to eat, and some survived the spats. We're survivors. We faced and passed the test. And in history, all the world will see that Survivor 10 was best.
No, you're done.